about to hear a life-changing message preached at Revival International Memphis by the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay.
In Matthew 21, verse 13, the Bible says, "And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." In this Sunday's message, Reverend Lindsay preaches a powerful message about the importance of prayer and joining in along with the Flow prayer meetings. Our house should be filled with prayer. Prayer draws us nearer to our Father God. So let us listen into this anointed word and learn morning by morning to come to our God in prayer. Be blessed.
Are you ready to praise the Lord for His greatness?
There is no other faithful God, so loving and true.
One, two, three, let's go!
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love His name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name.
Now you can go down with me.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love His name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how the name is called to me.
Put your hands together for the Lord. Today the Lord has something wonderful for you. Something good for you. After resurrection,
wow,
there comes power. Tell somebody power.
Amen.
Put your hand on your heart and let's pray, please. Tell the Lord, I'm here for you. Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's real. And that he diligently rewards those who diligently seek him. Tell the Lord, I believe. I know you're here. Speak to me personally. You're so real to me. I'm seeking you diligently. And I know you will reward my seeking. Holy Spirit, help me in Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints shall say, amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus, and you may please be seated. In the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I want you all to know that Christianity doesn't end or begin at Easter or Christmas or any other ceremony or Christian ceremony for that matter. Why do I say that? I'm saying that because I noticed that last week, our religiosity came. Yeah. Everybody recruited their friends who have not been in church for 35 years and brought them. It's like, okay, it's for Easter. Let me tell you, Easter is not a religious thing. It's not even a Christian thing. Do you get the point? We celebrate it. Because we use that to celebrate the death and the resurrection of Christ. But it's really the God Yishta. That's the God of the egg of fruitfulness. That was the ceremony. But Christians decided they didn't want the Christians to go to such, you know, ungodly activity. For which reason they decided to put the celebration of Christ's death and resurrection in that season. And that is how Easter. So it's Jista. The goddess Jista You know, that's why the Easter eggs and things like that come. Did I tell you that last week? Did you know that? All right. Last Friday at prayer meeting too, I noticed that people didn't know what the Beatitudes are. How many know what the Beatitudes are? If you lift your hand, I'll ask you. So don't lift your hand too quickly. How many know what Beatitudes mean? Okay. A lot of hands went up first. When I say I'll ask you, it's going down. That's sincerity. Clap for the sincere Christians. The Beatitudes are the Beatitudes. You know, when Jesus Christ went to the Mount to preach the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5, he says, blessed are they who do this. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are those who are pure in spirit. Blessed are these. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. All those things are called the Beatitudes. Okay, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs the kingdom of God. These are called the Beatitudes. Someone say the Beatitudes. In fact, people call it the Beatitudes. That if you're a Christian and you want to be blessed, have these attitudes. Yeah, let me read them. Matthew chapter 5 from verse number 4. Okay, he said, maybe start from verse 1. He says, and seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Keep going. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It means the poor in spirit are those who feel a need for God's presence. They are poor in spirit. Spiritually, look, I know I don't have God, but God, I need you. Those are the people who are poor in spirit. Well, I don't need God. I'm okay. I don't need religion. I don't need any God. That's so blessed. Those who are poor in spirit, they are blessed. Those are the people that the kingdom of God comes. Then he goes on to say, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Has just being a Christian caused you sometimes, because of what you've lost and sacrificed, makes man, you know, if it wasn't for Christianity, I know how. I don't have money. I know how I could just go over there. I know the corner to go to. A car will stop right now. By the time I come home, I have some $300. Yeah, and because I've decided to be a Christian, I can't do that anymore. Sometimes it makes you, lost that boyfriend. Bible says there's a blessing in that. Someone says, I'm blessed. They shall be comforted. And then he said the next one, blessed are those who are meek or humble. They shall inherit the earth. Keep going. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. You should be hungry for the righteous course, for holiness, hungry and thirsty. Man, can't wait to do the right thing. You know, hunger. You have an appetite for holiness. You know, the Bible says, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. These are the things that bring blessing. Oh, put your hands together for real. These are the things that bring blessing. You know, and the world is full of curses, including the Adamic curse. So if you want to be a Christian who is blessed, many Christians don't walk in the blessing that they should walk in. And it's because the Beatitudes are not in their lives. You get the point? The Beatitudes are not in their lives. You don't walk like somebody who needs, what you need is credit card, not God. Yeah. What I need is a guy, not God. Many people, that's how we behave. But the guy who's hungry and thirsty after righteousness, or those who are poor in spirit, that want God and declare that I need God. You see that they walk in prayer. Lord, I need you. They're usually prayerful people. They are usually Bible readers. They are usually faith people. They are usually tithers. They are usually worshipers. They usually call on God. Yeah. You see that the person comes to church, he's praying, he's leaving, he's praying. The person sits in the car, they are praying. They land in their place, they are thanking God. They get to work, they are praying. They come to school, they pray. They are writing an exam, they are praying. God help me. They finish, they say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen. They wake up in the morning, they are praying. They go and they are going to sleep, they are praying. This is somebody who is poor in spirit. They are the ones who get blessed. The presence of God was with them. When Jacob notices that, look, I need God. They are the people who say, I need God. Jacob was trickster, self-planted thief. He said, I need God. The Bible says, what did he do? And I'm going to share with you. That's what I want to share with you today. A certain beatitude of the hunger and the thirst for God. Clap for the Lord again, Jesus. Yeah. There are so many beatitudes, about 10 or so of them, that you must judge your lives and check your lives by them and operate with these attitudes so that you walk in the blessing of the beatitudes. Someone say beatitudes. Be in that attitude. Let your attitude all align to those blessings. Christians, I cry when I see a Christian who is not blessed. Say, I am blessed. I will walk in the beatitudes. Should I keep reading for you? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You'll be blessed if you are merciful and forgiving. Next. Blessed are the pure in heart. Everything you are suspicious. Man goes to say, hey, what did you come here to do? You have a bad mind about me. You are talking about, why can't you be pure a little and say, oh, it's okay. Pure in spirit. They shall see God. Yeah. When you keep iniquity in your heart, you can't see God. Be pure. Forgive. Okay. He explained, he said, oh, I didn't mean that. Okay, so let it go. Let it go. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. When you are a peacemaker, you'll be called a child of God. Many people, because you don't have peace with people, you are not called a child of God. You are not designated a child. You don't operate in the royalty and the ownership of God such that he can bless you. Yeah. Because Bible says, a vengeance is mine, I'll repay. When you are a child and somebody does something, I'm going to tell my mommy, I'm going to tell my daddy. That's a blessing. And you go and mommy tell you, who? Your big brother did that. Hey, come here. Come here, John. Did you just spank? Let me tell you, I warn you, this should be the last time you touch my child. Okay, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Peacemakers. Okay. Oh, you set me up. Don't worry, I'll talk to God about it. Yeah, you better believe it. One time my wife told me that I'm going to report you to your daddy. Yeah. She told me, I'm going to report you to your daddy. I waited a long time. My biological father didn't call. My spiritual father didn't call. I said, oh, this girl, she's got empty threats. She has got empty threats. He just says anything. Oh, you know, whatever it is she was going to report, the thing vanished. And I said, the last time you said you're going to report me to my father, the bishop didn't talk to me, Apostle Joe didn't talk to me, my biological father who was alive, they didn't talk to me. So don't stop bragging about threatening me. He said, no. You don't know. I reported it to your heavenly father. Yeah. Yeah. That thing resolved without anything. God was there and dealt with me on her behalf. I didn't even know how that thing vanished. The peacemakers. I'm not going to throw you, hitch back. I'm not going to insult you back. I'm going to report you. A peacemaker. I'll forgive you and I'll leave vengeance to God. Yeah. I've done that before. The person was fired from the place. Because I'm a child of God. They shall be called sons of God. Real sons of God, they know who their father is and they report every little thing to daddy. Yeah. God, Jesus Christ came. The Easter convention, I told you, he came and said, now, don't touch me because I have not gone to my father, which is your father, to my God, who is your God. I know who my father is. Better don't touch me because I'm a peacemaker. I will not touch you, but I'll go to my father. I'm called the son of God. That's the blessing of having God as your father and being a peacemaker. Every time you are slapping back, why do you think they say when they slap you, give the other cheek? The more they slap, the more the father will deal with them. Christians look like fools, but they are the most protected, secure. Yeah. Most secure. The people, the presence of God and the angels, the host of angels around you. If you surrender things to God, I tell God everything. Yeah. I'm chatting. I'm walking and I'm chatting. I'm in the car and I'm talking. I'm talking. You would think I'm crazy. I will say, that cometh to must believe that he exists, he's real. This is your Christianity, that God is an abstract figure. You see, you go to somebody's house, Christ is the head of this house. He's the unseen guest at every what? Meal. He's a silent listener to every conversation. Christ is not silent in my house. He's not an unseen guest. He's not even a guest. He's a host. Yeah. Christ is the head of this house. What the head? And he's the unseen. He's a silent listener. He's the guest. No, he's not a guest. He's my host. He is the owner. And I've surrendered everything. You better be serious about that. Let God be your all in all. Yeah. Rashad, I'll put the phone outside so that God can be your all in all. Amen. So today I'm going to tell you something that is one of the characteristics, the B attitude, one of them. Who are hungry. One of the things that show hunger is you like to eat. You have an appetite. You like to be where God's presence is. That hunger and thirst after righteousness, after God's presence. Amen. Today I'm going to talk to you about a few things. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 13. Matthew 21, let's start from verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God. Someone say temple of God. And drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. You should never come and do business here. The church is not a business center. All right? We can advertise your business. Oh, you do air conditioning like Brother Kobe. Everybody, if your air conditioner is destroyed and you give to somebody, you are not a good... You don't love the brethren. You don't love God. Yeah, he's an air-conditioned man. He's called Anani HVAC or Freshner or something. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. I don't call anyone. It's him. Yeah. If I can pay somebody, why not pay my brother who pay tithes to the church? Why not make you pay somebody so that you become richer rather than making an unbeliever richer? And you call it, oh, because you don't know these Christians. At least trust them. Trust them. Give them a chance. One day, Miss Bib, tell them I know how to spank them too. Let's do business with each other. Let's promote each other's businesses. Yeah. Let's be each other's keepers. Let's be happy when people prosper. Yeah. All right. So we are not going to be doing the business, but if there's a business and you want, you can talk to somebody about it. Hey, I hear you have this. That's great. And you're not coming to sell parrots here. And doves. Okay. So that's what they were doing. And Jesus overturned their tables of money, the money changers, and the seats of those who, you know, sold those doves. He said, no, don't do that. Now watch this. Next verse. And he said something. There's something. Then he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called what? A house of prayer. A house of prayer. But you have converted it and made it what? A den of thieves. A den of thieves. Let me tell you, any church that is not made a house of prayer will produce thieves. It will become an incubation and a den of thieves. The worst criminals are Christians who don't believe God. I'll say it again. The worst criminals are the Christian, an unbeliever Christian and an unbeliever criminal and a Christian criminal. The worst one is the Christian criminal because he's a hypocrite as well. The unbeliever doesn't have any conscience, doesn't have anything. I mean, I'm doing it because that's it. But the Christian claims that I'm a Christian. Listen, if I don't know who to use. Sister Gabby comes to your house and says, the Lord has told me to bring you a message. I mean, come, look at this angel. I mean, chances are that you believe her, that the Lord has sent her. And then I have a message for you, you know. Whoosh! And whoosh, you know. Then she does a whoosh sound, and then you believe it even some more. Whoosh! I feel the Spirit. I feel it. Then, oh, sit down, sit down. Hey, let her sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Go and sit on your chair. Sit down. Then you sit down. No, in fact, come. In fact, because the Lord has called you, I will let you even sit at my high table. Sit down. Watch this. This is how much trust, because she's a Christian and she came speaking in tongues and bringing prophecies. So I sit down. I say, "Who? You know, I forgot about my neighbor. Wait, my neighbor, they need to hear this prophetic word." Then I get out and I go and bring my friends to come. By the time I come, gone into my bedroom, she's collected everything. Yeah, because I trusted as a Christian. That's how dangerous Christians are. Yeah. And it's only because this is what they will become. If in a church, we don't bring Christians to the point of knowing and believing in God and interacting and relating with God in an intimate way, we produce a den of thieves. Nobody puts thieves in a den. You actually, to put a den is a man-made. You actually bring, I'm bringing and I'm putting them, I'm giving them a house in my house. Yeah. That's what you do. I'm accumulating thieves, gathering them and giving them a house. A den is an artificial house created by human beings to house lions. A lion's den made by man in his house to house a dangerous creature. Because of the way I found you, go back and sit in your seat. I mean, you've actually, by the time I left, you have stolen all my things. That is how I could say, God forbid. No, that's how you would, very unsuspecting. It would be very unsuspecting. I mean, if they tell you that she's a thief, will you believe it? Or Auntie Wilmina, how possible? God forbid. Now, think about it. And she's the closest to my chair, and I put my wallet here. No, when a church ceases to draw people into prayer, draw people into God for real, and we preach just about prosperity and how to finish school and how to all these nice things that are not really drawing people to intimacy with God, you create Christian thieves. You create a den of thieves. And I can assure you, when a Christian, the most wicked person to bring to Christ is a Christian who say, "I've been in church for a long time," but they don't know God. Yeah. They are easier. It's easier to win an unbeliever to God than to be somebody who's been in church for a long time but has not been a prayerful person, has not been a deep Christian. Because they claim they know God, but they don't. Bible says they are called, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. The power, I mean, it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, I believe. It says, such Christians, they have a form, it's a type of godliness that goes to church, but they deny the power thereof. Please bring that scripture. Is it correct? Uh-huh. They have having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And Bible says, from such, turn away. When you see a lion, you better turn away. A den of thieves. So when I come to prayer meeting and I see those who haven't come to church, I said, "Hey, these are my potential lions." Yes. I'll say it again. When a church calls for a prayer meeting and church members don't attend, you have a potential to become the group that is called the den of thieves. Yeah. Because you removed yourself from prayer. I mean, I am here. You came because of God. When I am talking, you come. But when it is time to relate with God yourself, you don't go. Think about it. I'm here. The day you have to talk to me, you come massively. But the day we said, it's not Pastor Lindsay who's going, but you are coming to talk to God. That day you said, "No, I won't come." Think about it. Does it make spiritual sense? Yeah. So the prayer meeting is the sure sign of the type of church that is being produced. Yeah. And the church has to assess itself, and the church members have to assess themselves. Do we believe in the pastor or we believe in God? When it comes to talking to me, you are around. But when it comes to talking to God, you are not around. So who do you believe? Let's be real. The number one thief spiritual thief is the devil himself. Because the Bible says in John 10:10, that thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I thought you would put your hands together for the Lord. Please, let me tell you, assert your relationship with God, not by your church attendance, but by your worship attendance, your prayer attendance, your Bible study. When it comes to God directly, what do you do? What's your reaction? That shows you how godly you are or not. I'll say it again. You claim that you are a child of God. You claim that you look like God. Come. See, the way you have gray beard, you claim that you are a child of God. When I, who is not God, I come, you are happy. Then I bring your father. Today, your father is coming. So come and let's interact with your daddy. What do you think? If your father has even traveled for years, what do you think is going to happen? The place will be jam-packed with all the children. If they really believe that this is their father. Let me tell you something. Assess yourself. Your prayer life assesses you more than your church attendance. Your Bible study assesses you more. It's an individual assessment of your godliness. Let's not raise thieves. This is the God you said you claim you came for. But when I remove myself and I say, let God be, you say, no, I won't be there. Makes no sense. That's why Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. Don't think that this is faith. You came to church, it's faith. Without faith, it's not possible. What you are trying to please him is not possible to do without faith. And he explains why. He said, because he who comes, God, if you came to God, then you must believe in his existence. And let me tell you, those who are rewarded, and that he is a rewarder of those people. It means there's a group of people who are rewarded, of those who diligently seek God. Those are the people that are rewarded. Let me not lie to you. It's not my preaching that rewards you the most. Let's be real. If nobody has told you, let me tell you. That's the truth. I don't want you to be deceived. And then finally God comes and he's taking his people and you're lost. No. That will be a travesty. I would have deceived you. I have to draw you closer to God than myself. I know you like me. I know I'm a nice person. I mean, when I even you see the way I do. You know, I'm of course, by the grace of God. You know, nice. The way I would hug you, but what can I do for you? I hug you and I leave you and you go home. But he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he's the one that you defy. Let me tell you, the flow prayer meeting that Bishop Dag has instituted, that twice a week, he wants to call us to learn how to pray with Bible verses, is one of the best things that a pastor can do to his congregation. Put your hands together for Jesus. One of the greatest tests. And he said, don't even come to church. Stay in your room and let's see whether you'll get up to pray. That one is between you and God. He said, stay. I, your pastor, I'm going to come and I'm going to open up to everybody in the church from YouTube. Just arise and come and seek the face of God. You don't know how to do it. You have an excuse. I can't pray in tongues. I can't do this. I'm not easily. I don't know what to pray about. He said, look, I'll show you what to pray about. I will show you what to pray about. I'll show you how to use the Bible as a source of prayer. I'll teach you. What else do you need? When flow is going on Tuesday morning and on Friday morning and you arise and shine, when nobody's there, that tells something about you. You are not in church. It's not about church. It's about you and God. And you rise up from your sleep. Jesus rose up from the dead. You can't rise up from your bed. Jesus rose up from the dead so that he can reconcile you and bring you to God. And now that he's brought you to God, rise up from your bed and come to the God that I died for you to have access to. And you said no. No. So let me tell you, the flow prayers, they are meant to teach. Bishop Doug, I know him. He would like to pray. He spends hours in prayer. This time that he's actually standing there praying with it, it's almost a waste of his time. But he doesn't call it a waste of time, because he said, I was not here to draw people to myself, but to draw them to God. Tell somebody, I will flow in the prayers. This is the God that we are talking about. And so today I'm going to show you how and explain to you what that flow prayer means, and get you to learn how to pray. Learn how to come to God in your room on morning by morning. Morning by morning. Morning by morning. That you will not leave your house without seeking the face of he who knows tomorrow from today. Have you seen tomorrow before? Have you seen tomorrow before? And you will never see tomorrow. But he knows the future from now. He said in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have, saith the Lord. They are plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Can you give yourself a future? You've never seen, even tomorrow, you haven't seen before. And you say you're finishing school in 3 years. You're joking. Even tomorrow you can't account for. So I'm going to show you why flow. Why prayers? Why? Because any church that is not made up of people who are people of prayer, get together, know how to pray, it will create a den of thieves. Why should we? Because the same way that Bishop Doug is calling us to pray, come, let's pray. The disciples told, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Disciples are from ask Jesus, teach us to pray. Ask. You know, let's read a verse or two before that. They asked him, teach us to pray. Where is the one that he asked them, teach us to pray? Please, show me the one that he said. I think it's in Luke. He said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Watch this. Yeah. And then he said, Jesus said, now it came to pass, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It came to pass, Jesus was praying himself. You see, Jesus wanted to pray. He was praying himself alone in a certain place. He was praying like a selfish pastor. I can pray and not mind you. I cannot decide not to organize any prayer. I'll pray. I'll be having a relationship with God. But the disciples said, no, Jesus, you can't teach us. You can't cheat us. One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. A good pastor will teach his sheep to pray. A good pastor will teach them to independently seek God, because that's how they will be rewarded. So what Bishop Doug has instituted on Tuesdays and Fridays, the flow prayer to teach us to pray, is actually what the disciples sought Jesus to do. And every pastor must copy it. And if you have a pastor who does that, you should be clapping for the Lord and celebrating and encouraging it. Lord, teach us to pray. As John taught, as a good, the model of a pastor before Jesus came was John the Baptist. He taught his disciples to pray. So his disciples knew that a real follower, a Christian who has a pastor, must know how to pray. So they told Jesus, hey, we are following you, but you haven't taught us to pray. Teach us. Then Jesus said, pray this manner. So he said to them, when you pray, this is what you should say. This is what you should say. He taught them line by line, day by day, scripture by scripture, how to do it. You are going to be taught by the flow how to pray. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Not only that, Jesus also brought his disciples along to pray. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 40. Bible says, Jesus Christ went into the garden to pray, and he brought his disciples, come along and let's pray. When he came, what did he find? They were sleeping. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to the chief shepherd, what? Someone say, what? Say, what? You see the exclamation? Boom! Bah! What? That's a sign of surprise. Jesus is surprised when he's come with his disciples to pray and they are not waking up. He came and found them sleeping. He had invited them, come to flow prayer. Come and let's pray on the mountain. And he was praying. And he came and what were they doing? They were asleep. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not even watch with me for 1 hour? You can't flow in prayer for 1 hour. Oh, I'm feeling sleepy. Do you know how much work I did? Really? Keep working. Ladies and gentlemen, sleep can be irresponsible. And he did it 3 times. 3 hours. Incidentally, our flow period is 3 hours. 3 hours from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. Somebody say we are in the Bible. Someone say our church is in the Bible. It's exactly. 3 hours. We are right there. 3 hours. Each hour, Jesus will come. And he'll be sleeping. Come. Then the next time, at the third hour, he said, next, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Because a spirit indeed is willing. Do you know your spirit wants to pray? Your spirit really wants to pray. Oh, yeah. If you are a real Christian, you really want to pray. I don't believe there's anybody here who doesn't want to get up and pray during flow. I don't believe it. If you are like that, please, you need deliverance. Yeah, I'm saying that if you are a Christian who, I don't want to pray. Me, no, don't bring prayer here at all. There's a demon in you. Yeah, there is not even one Christian who doesn't like to pray. There's nobody here, I can assure you. There's no demonized person. You are here, you don't, no, it's not because you don't want to pray. Peter was the head of the pastors, shepherds. He slept. Your sleepiness is not a sign of your unspirituality. It's a sign of the fact that your flesh is strong. Bible says the spirit indeed is willing. If you were stripped of your flesh right now, the one that is tired, the one that feels sleepy, the one that, man, if you are stripped of your you see how strong your spirit wants to pray. So your desire to pray is actually the thing that fights it the most is your flesh. Yeah. You want to get up, man, why is it waking us up at 4? That's an ungodly hour. 5 o'clock. Who's, why is Pastor calling us? Why is Sister Devonia calling us? Why is my Basenta leader calling me? It is not because now you are having hatred. It's your flesh that hates, but your spirit indeed wants to pray. Yeah. That's Jesus' revelation. When you didn't come to prayer meeting on Friday, yeah. No, it's not a Zoom prayer. You see, Zoom, the flesh wants to be on Zoom, but the spirit wants to be here. She really wants her to be here. That's why she was on Zoom. I can assure you, if she had her own way, she would be here. It was because you couldn't overcome your spirit, your flesh, to arise and come through the Zoom out of the Zoom, and be here. No, seriously. It is not Zoom she wanted to be on. What she wanted to do is to pray. That's why she even connected on Zoom. True. And this Zoom thing is very powerful. Yeah. Sometimes at 4 a.m., Tuesdays and Fridays, 4 a.m., get up. Pray. Some of you can do it for 2 hours. Some of you can do it for 1 hour. Some of you cannot. If we left you alone, you will never be able. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Continue. Can you do it? We have noticed. Jesus knew that it was not possible. Apples, let me help you. Even then, their flesh for them. It's the flesh that fights you. But let me tell you, a few who their flesh fought them, including Peter, number one. Fighting the flesh. Why people don't pray? Number one, the Peter example. Jesus-Peter relationship. That's number one. Jesus went 3 times to wake them up. If somebody calls you during flow 3 times, clap and say, look, I'm in the Bible. Somebody say, clap, I'm in the Bible. I'm in the Bible. I'm in the Bible. So I hope that a friend who loves you will call you 3 times. We are going to start calling people because it's in the Bible. That's the Jesus, how to overcome the flesh. Number one, the Jesus and Peter example. That's number one. Write it down. Number two, the Jonah and the shipmaster example. Jonah and the shipmaster. Let's go to Jonah in chapter 1 from verse 1. Jonah and the shipmaster example. Now, the word of the Lord, I'm talking about how to flow without flow against the flesh or flow in spite of the flesh. Number one, have a Jesus type of pastor or center leader who will wake you up like Jesus did to the disciples, even if it's three times. Number two, Jonah and the ship. What's that? The ship man. The ship what? Okay. The ship master. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, watch this. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Next. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Instead of going towards the Lord, he was running away, backsliding. He went down to Joppa. Joppa, Tel Aviv is now, Joppa is now Tel Aviv. I've been there a couple of times. Yeah. And found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Tell someone, how can I flee from your presence? Then, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Mercy, watch this. House is about to sink. Then the mariners were afraid, the shipmasters, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah was gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and lay down and was fast asleep. Says Jonah was fast asleep. Look around and look, mention the next person and say that person was fast asleep. Say Gabby was fast asleep. Say Rashad was fast asleep. Huh? Say mommy was fast asleep. Sometimes it's your mommy that's fast asleep. Sister Joy was fast asleep. Auntie Amina was fast asleep. Sister Mimi, Brenada was fast asleep. Malika was awake, but Brenada was fast asleep. Brother Dwight, I couldn't believe Lady Pastor Devonia claims she's a pastor, but she was fast asleep. Bernice, there she was, super fast asleep. Hey, listen. That's called irresponsible sleep. That's called careless sleep. Sleep can be very costly. When the ship was in almost breaking up, when there's trouble in your house, flow is going on and you are sleeping, somebody say irresponsible sleep. He's gone. Not only as he says, went to the lowest part of the ship. He's laying down, he's collected pillows and was sleep, not just asleep, fast asleep. You, the cause of the problem, there's trouble and the trouble, and you're sleeping. Look at the way he was addressed. Verse 6. Jonah 1. So the captain of the ship, say the captain, the shipmaster, the captain, came to him and said to him, what do you mean, oh sleeper? Say, what do you mean? Tell somebody, what do you mean? Jesus said, what? The shipmaster said, what do you mean sleeping? Let me tell you, my son was going through attacks. I tell you, he couldn't hear, he couldn't speak. Yes. One of my sons couldn't hear, couldn't speak. Years had passed. Was becoming mentally retarded. Yes. They told him he could never use his fingers. I said, there's the name above all names. At the mention of that name, every knee shall bow, of things above, of things on the earth, of things underneath the earth. Whatever the diagnosis is, I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. He's a healer. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Bible says, for those who fear the name of the Lord, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And they will come forth. They will arise, come forth and strong. And they will come out of their stave like gazelle. Coming out. You are sitting down, there's somebody who's sick, and you are sitting down. A job is treating you negative. Your child is misbehaving. Trouble is coming, and you are asleep. You are irresponsible. Say, what? Jesus said, what? The shipmaster says, what do you mean? What do you mean? God is helping me to preach. Amen. What do you mean? Yeah. And he said, What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. So I arose. Night after night, my wife and I, we walk like crazy people every midnight for at least an hour. We bind every work of Satan. My son now talks more than all the other children. I mean, his fingers are dexterity. He actually got a scholarship because of his fingers. No, that's how God can turn things around. If we had been irresponsible, Jesus would have been shouting from heaven, "What? Why are you sleeping?" The shipmaster, the captain of our ship, would be rising. What do you mean sleeping? Some of us are like that. God cannot do anything without your prayer. You have to allow him. You have to. Your prayer is what activates, because this world, Bible says the whole world lies in iniquity. The devil has taken over. He's the god of this world. Did you know that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4. The devil is the god, the prince of this world. God is not. He's got the whole world in his hand. That's a lie. God has no hand in this world. Except when you allow him to. Yes. That's why Bible says, I've given you the keys. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You have heavenly influence only by your prayer. Watch it. Watch it. How dare you say, arise and pray. And your prayer is what gives power to the presence of God. I am prayed up so that the hand of God will operate in my life. Yeah. You are on your. That's why I said, those who are poor in spirit, who acknowledge God, they are the ones who are blessed. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number something. 18, 19. Watch it. In fact, 19. He said, and I give you the keys of the kingdom. Keys. Keys means what? Open. That opens. That gives you access. Let me tell you, heaven is shut unless you open by your prayer. How do you do it? I'll give you the keys of the heaven. And what is that? Whatever you bind on this earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on this earth shall be loose in heaven. Christians have power, but they don't use it. Yeah, me, every day in a prayer, my life is a product of God's input through prayer. Yeah, of things that were cooked up in heaven, but they were sitting there, but I had not applied the key. Your house will be locked to you, and everything behind that door will never be accessed until you use the key. And the key is binding and loosing. Clap for Jesus. And that's the key that God has given us through the flow of prayers. So it's irresponsible. So I gave you number one. Why, you know, you're sleeping. Number one, the Jesus Peter example. 3 times he woke him up. Number two, the captain or shipmaster and Jonah woke him up and said, how dare you? Someone say, how dare you sleep? Number three is the Jacob example. Jacob and the man who wrestled with him. Jacob chapter 32. From verse 22. Did you say Genevieve? January chapter. Genesis chapter 32. Watch this. And Jacob, let's read from verse 20 even. Verse 21. Jacob sent presents. He was going to meet Esau, who had threatened to kill him. There was trouble in his house. This is how not to become irresponsible. There's trouble. You've gone to steal things. You wanted birthright. You got it. You wanted a blessing. You got it. You ran away to a place. Now the person whose birthright and blessing you stole is now waiting for you. God has told you to go back to the land you came from. So you have to obey. And Jacob had to go. But Esau was waiting. What you will do? Someone say, what you will do? Not what will you do, what you'll do. Say, what you'll do. What you gonna do? This guy, he decided not to be a Jonah. I'm showing a good example. And Bible says, he sent his present over before him, but he himself, he lodged that night in the camp. Watch what is happening. Verse 22, watch this. And he arose in the afternoon. He arose in the night. Wendy, are you getting it? He he arose in the night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok, his great and quiet place. Watch this. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them then over whatever he had. Then verse 24 is where the action begins. Watch this. Then Jacob was left what? Alone. You have to create space. Put the phone aside. Put your child to bed. There are least distractions when you wake up early. This was just before daybreak. Before daybreak, that's dawn. That's our flow time. Every Christian, any Christian who is responsible spiritually and you want God's influence, open heavens, the key, you should never, daybreak should not see you in bed. Daybreak should never, any Christian that daybreak sees you in bed, you are irresponsible spiritually. I'm telling you. No, it's not you, because you are changing. I say it again. Don't tell me you don't know what time I sleep. You also don't know what time I sleep. But I don't allow the sun to shine through. If I see the sun, I'm late. I never allow myself to wake up. I've trained my body that this flesh, which deceived Peter, deceived Jonah, it will not deceive me. I will not allow my flesh to take me away from God. Never. I will never wake up and find the sun. I should wake up before my eyes, the first sun. If I wait, the sun shows up as a Christian, then you haven't understood the powers of darkness. Get up! Tell somebody, get up! And I go to school. I've been doing this since I started school. And I've not stopped. My wife does the same. My children do the same thing. Yeah. You see a lot of prayer in my house. The grace of God. Your house, if you don't make it a house of prayer, to become a den of thieves. The devil is the thief, number one. He will enter. And he will cause havoc. Cause confusion. Your sleep will be irresponsible. Christians should... I'll show you that Jesus did the same. Watch this. Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. He was praying. Someone say, a man. Now, that man obviously is an angel. But it signifies man, your flesh, your humanness. It will wrestle with you. You get your breakthrough, your flesh will fight you. A man will wrestle with you until daybreak. And it's only daybreak that you get up. But you have to wrestle and win. And look at what? He wrestled with the man. Wrestle, you may not see an angel man, but your flesh, where the spiritual angel is, the spirituality to access heaven is, the man of you, the humanness of you will wrestle with you, I can assure you. Your flesh will, Jesus said, is willing, but the flesh is willing. In other words, overcome the flesh and let the spirit. Watch this. Jacob was left. Man wrestled with him until daybreak. Now watch this. Then verse 26, 25. Now when he saw that he could not prevail, the man could not prevail. The man, your flesh should not prevail. You should not allow your flesh to win. One day I was fasting and I ate. I was the pastor, but I fell flat complete. Anyway, my church members are fasting, but I'm eating. But I couldn't handle it. I looked at my stomach and said, look, this stomach, you've disgraced me today. Nobody knows, but I know. You've disgraced me. Tomorrow I will show you who's the master. Yeah, I do. So, hit one, you this stomach. 1, 2, 3. Tomorrow I'll punish you. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you who's the master of this body. And I did the fast, the power. Ha! I said, my stomach, you are crawling again. You know how the stomach. I said, you can cry all you want. I'm the boss here. I'm the boss of this body. Tell someone, I'm the boss of this body. I am the boss. I'm the boss. Kaden, tell your flesh, I'm the boss of this flesh, this stomach. Many Christians have never fasted before. That's why God's presence doesn't show up. You can't fast. You can't pray. You don't fast. You don't pray. You have depended on your flesh, your body. And I'm telling you honestly, there is an aspect of your life that God is so waiting. He said, oh, my son, if only you knew. Bible says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. neither has it entered into the heart of God the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But many of people won't get it because they won't ask for it. The Bible says you receive not because you ask not. Not that God doesn't want to give, but you don't ask. Watch this. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail, the socket of his hip and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Watch this. Next. Then he said, let me go because the day breaks. Yeah. The man said, let me go because the day breaks. The only thing sometimes your flesh use, that makes you get up is such a man. The sun is on. So you get up. That's the thing that causes you to wake up. Not because you want to, but you should fight it. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless. That should be your attitude. I will not, this flesh will not take its place until I've received what I want. Until I've received the blessing. It has been my attitude. It has been my attitude. It must be your attitude. It was the attitude of Jesus, attitude of Jacob. Listen to what happened to Jacob. Many of you, you may remain in your Jacob until you behave like him. And he says, I will not let you go. I will do this flesh. I will pray. And he said, let me go. I will not let you go until you bless me. Then the next verse, then he says, so he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then he said, next. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob. I'll change your identity. Prayer changes you. Prayer changes your identity. Prayer changes your status. You shall no longer be called a trickster, supplanter, thief. But Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men. Give me the King James. It doesn't say it well. That you have power. You have prevailed. You shall be called King James. King James, the original. He said, the name shall not, your name shall no more be called Jacob, but you'll be called Israel, meaning a prince. Because you are now as a prince. You have now power with God and power with men. And you have prevailed. Clap for Jesus. When you think that prayer is only power with God, it's also power with men. Prayer gives you favor with men. You come. This guy, Israel, Jacob, went to meet Esau, who wanted to kill him. Esau, his identity was Esau hugged him and rather blessed him and helped him, protected him. Somebody who wanted to kill him because prayer had changed him such that his identity had changed. Esau was expecting Jacob, but prayer had produced an Israel. May prayer produce you an Israel. Your identity. The devil is seeking whom he may devour. When he finds, he will not find you because the prayer garment and cloak and presence of God that you have unleashed by the key of binding and loosing, you will not be identified. You can be the devil and come to my house. You won't find me. You'll find an angel. You'll find an angel there for you. You'll find a person of an identity that you cannot easily break through. Yeah, that's what happened to Jacob. The thief, supplanter, trickster was no longer the same. Found Israel, a prince. A prince means the child of a royal king. A prince. Be that. Access heaven as a child. Please, be a prayerful person. Why? Your life without prayer, there's no power. There's no power with God. There's no power with men. There's no influence that's supernatural. Why do you live an unbeliever life as though you're an unbeliever? Where's your power? Jonah, Joel chapter 2, verse 17. Bible says, and watch, let's continue this. Watch the verse 29. Jacob in Israel, and he had prevailed. Then the next verse 29, watch this. And Jacob asked him, tell me also, I pray thee, your name. He said, why are you asking my name? And he blessed him there. And he blessed him there. At that flow prayer, he blessed him. Then the next one, watch this. Verse 30. And Jacob, please, verse 30. That's not, that's 29. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. Then he said, for I've seen the face of God, life's preserved. Then the next one. And he passed over the Peniel, and the sun rose on him. And the sun rose on him. May the sun rise upon you. May the glory of the Lord, Shekinah glory, rise upon you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what food does. And it's going to be a blessing if you be converted. May the devil not find you. May he find an Israel, a man of power, a man with power with God and with men. You say things and it's happening. They can't see why they chose you. Power with men. Now, the reason why you need to do this three, because Jesus himself, he did flow in the morning. Our heroes like Jesus. Mark 1:35. Why should you wake up in the morning? Why should you do dawn? Because Jesus prayed at dawn. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before daybreak. A great while. When you say a great while before daybreak, what time will it be? Will it be 6? No. Will it be what? Around what time? 3, 4. Even 5 is not too bad. But to wake up, no, never wake up at 6. 4, 5 should be your time. You can rest later or go to sleep early so that you will wake up early. Be like Jesus. In the morning, he rose up a great while before day and went out and departed into a solitary place and there he prayed. That was Jesus, our greatest example. David, the man after God's heart, was like that. Psalm 5 verse 3. The Bible says, and in the morning, my voice shall you hear in the morning. Oh Lord, in the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and I will look up. When you leave the house, having prayed 1 hour, Jesus said, at least 1 hour. What? You couldn't wait with me for 1 hour. At least 1 hour before you go. That's a Christian. That's a regular Christian. At least 1 hour. Spend time. If you don't know what to pray, put on the floor prayer and let our pastor teach you from the Bible how to pray. That's what the flow is about. My voice you will hear and I will direct my prayer to you and I will look up. When I've directed my prayer, I can look up. I can assure you, I can tell God will make this day good. Let's live a supernatural life. Believe it. So Jesus did it. David did it. And of course, Jacob did it. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And one of the things that I'll tell you about irresponsible sleep. Please put that scripture there. It says that while men slept, the enemy came and planted tares. Oh, brother, God, you're tired. You can sit down. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Bible says, bring it out. It says, while men slept, the enemy came. But while men slept, you see, the verse before says that, verse 20, Matthew 13, verse 24, another parable Jesus Christ put forth saying, the kingdom of heaven, which you have to access by the key, is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Yes, you're sowing good seeds by giving your life to Jesus, but that's not it. You've been sowed the good seeds, but no, sleep. While men slept the next bed, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, went away. You woke up, you think that there has been no interaction. The enemy have walked away, going evil. That, my prayer, it changed everything. God changed everything through prayer. He wanted to save myself, but I had to. You know, before we go, I finished preaching, but before you go, let me demonstrate to you what this flow thing is about. Are you willing to do that? Many of you, you also don't know. When I say even flow prayer, you don't know. It's a prayer that we pray Tuesdays and Fridays at 4 a.m. We get up. It used to be at midnight and 1 a.m. I couldn't handle it. You couldn't handle it either. But we negotiated because where Bishop is, they wake up at 4 and do it. So we asked, they agreed that we should do it. So what does that mean? I'm going to demonstrate to you. When the flow prayer comes, it usually comes on your phone. It's so individual. Amen. So this time, I would like every one of us to whisk out your phone. Let me show you how it's going to be. Say, instead of using my phone for pornography, I'll use it for prayer. I shouldn't say it, you see. Instead of using my phone for gossip, I'll use it for prayer. So, it's on Tuesdays. So maybe if it's Monday, like it's tomorrow is Monday, the first thing you should do is sleep early so that I can wake up early. The next thing is set up your alarm for 4 a.m. Set an alarm for 4 a.m. to wake up. Even if you wake up at 4 and you sleep in again, you can wake up at 5 or 4:45 or 4:39 or 5:01. No problem. the sun should not arise on you. So that's the one. Then on that Tuesday of 4 a.m., you know, everybody get out your phone. Please get out your phone. Pastor Richard, can you send the link to everyone? Good. Everyone has it. But now it should be on your phone now. Uh-huh. Now, why don't the tech team, you two should have one. Give one to the tech team so that they can show. Okay, good. Now, so usually it will come as a link. The day before, you will get a flyer that, hey, tomorrow is flu. But like tomorrow, you get tomorrow in the evening. It will be on a Bacenta platform. So go on your Bacenta platform. You see that. And then this is like flow. It's morning now. It's flow in the morning now. Now the link has come. When you see the link, the first thing we call is CLCT. Click on the blue link. Click. Everybody, please click on the link. How many have got the link so far? Give me a wave with your phone if you got it. Oh. Look on your WhatsApp, please, or on your text. Please, wave your phone if you've got it. Oh. You're not participating in what we're doing. You're not serious about your spiritual life, you see. Please, look on your phone. You have it. Please, give me a wave if you have it. Give me a wave if you have it. Give me a wave if you have it. If you don't have it or it didn't come, sit by somebody who has it. Like, sit by your mom. Ah, you have it. Anybody who doesn't have it, sit by somebody who has it. And let me show you something. This is powerful. Now, click, click, click. You see, everybody, you see prayer going on. Bishop will teach you what to pray about and what. Click it. So C is click. Uh-huh. See, this is what you see. Good. There'll be a lot of people who will help you to pray. A lot of people who are also awake at that time. That's a spiritual church. That's a Jesus-type pastor. You see, these are the people. And then the prayer topics will be going on. All right? The prayer, you see, it's going on. He's teaching you the topic. He's explaining to you what the topic is. Then after he's explained the topic, then we'll pray. You see, that's our pastor explaining the topic. Explain. This is what they prayed this morning, explaining the topic. Then after that, we'll pray. Then when you click this, you will get a YouTube. It's a YouTube link. Now, the next thing you should do is after clicking,
Lord.
You click, and then you have to like. Show us the full screen. You see the YouTube thing? There's a place, a finger for like.
Send me,
brother, over there. Don't show the full screen like that. Uh-huh. So you see the like. Oh, why are you going off? These people, they don't pray at the back of what? Uh-huh. Now you see the like button. Pastor Richard, go there, please.
Something to finish. You see,
just go there. Uh-huh. So the like. Do you see the like? The finger there. Over there. Like it. What does that do? That sends it sometimes to people and also sometimes left people. If it was Facebook, other people will receive it. So you like. Then the next most important thing is that put your introduction there. There's a comment. You can put a comment. Where is the comment? See on the side.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
This is my mission.
So that is... Patricia, flowing, or flowing, no, don't put your name,
win this race.
Right? Flowing from R.I. Memphis. That's all. You don't even need to put your name. Say, I'm flowing from R.I. means Revival International, Memphis. And then just click it. Just put American flags there so I can see that where I come from here, even some flags.
We are winning.
Introduce yourself that you are here.
Send me.
Amen. Now, sometimes some of your church members will see and encourage, wow, Sister Frisa is praying, Auntie Wamina is praying. What a blessing. It's comforting. It's such a blessing. But let me tell you, the best place that we can have an interaction so that you don't fall asleep is on your... Once you've clicked this on and the prayer is coming in your room, you can take it to the toilet, you can take it to the bathroom, you can take it to your living room, you can kneel down with it and learn how to pray. Within a number of weeks, if you do this, you will be able to pray on your own every morning.
Give me a mission.
You can get up at 4, you can get up at 5, you can get up at 3 and pray. Never say, I don't know what to pray about. You can use the Bible and the topics will be there. This is how it is. He's explaining. He's explaining the prayers. What to pray, what to preach, how to pray. What vessel, what chapter of the Bible. Write the notes down. Now, don't forget, after this, we want to see. So you go to your what's it called? Platform, your Bacenter platform. Because your Bacenter leader, I've sent to Pastor Richard. Pastor Richard has sent to the Bacenter leaders. Each Bacenter leader will put it on your platform. If it's not there, call me so that I'll say, hey, which Bacenter leader is depriving you from your blessing? It's causing you to be responsible. And I will send it to you directly. Now, when you get there and you receive it, what I want you to do is put a thumbs up over there. You know, on the thumbs up. And then click, say, yeah. It means that I am on. Please, put a thumbs up. On this, a WhatsApp, put a thumbs up. Yes, you see that? Thumbs up. This is how you find the thumbs up. Find a thumbs up. Or put anything. Yes, sir, I'm here. Or I'm flowing. But thumbs up, especially. This thumb is too black. Okay. We can't even see it. Amen. I'm a little, you choose any shade of black you want. Okay. Yellow. This one is too yellow. Oh, no. Anyway, whatever you choose. I was just joking. And then click the thumbs up. And believe me, that your thumbs. Why should we put a thumbs up? Because just like the Jesus did to Peter and the shipmaster did to Jonah, sometimes when I see, I'll try and wake you up. I'll flash you, call you. Please, how many have received call for prayer before from me? I'd like to call you. I'd want to be like Jesus to get my disciples to be praying. So when you put your thumbs, I know that I don't need to call you. And when I call you 1, 2, 3 and you don't respond, I'll go. No problem. I call it flash. Somebody say flash. I'll flash you with a short phone call. And sometimes, just call each other. You know, God asks, where is your brother? And then Esau said, am I my brother's keeper? You know, we should look out for each other. Let me tell you something. If we all become prayerful, this church will have less problems. Less thieves. Less thieves will come to your house. Less access. I really want you. You may think, what's the relationship between prayer life and my academic life? You have no idea. Daniel prayed. And Bible says, as for the Hebrew boys, Daniel and the Hebrew boys, God gave them knowledge. Daniel chapter 1 verse 17. Knowledge, skill in learning and wisdom. I have gone to medical school, so you can't cheat me and bamboozle me with your education. I never even studied without prayer. I told God, God, give me a spirit of knowledge. Daniel 1:17 was my prayer. Yes. Give me a spirit of knowledge. I was not as smart, but God made me smarter. There is nothing God cannot do. Put everything in prayer. Prayer answers, changes things. And God answers prayer. I ask God for anything and everything. Sometimes I've asked God so much that my thoughts become prayer. I think it and it's happening. It's a constant interaction. How about my hair? I told God one day, if I have gray hair, I want to have gray hair like way Bishop. It was just a joke. Bishop has this and this. One day my gray hair started coming. It was there it started. Yeah. Little things like that. To the point where one time I'm joking with my wife, say, stop it. Don't joke. Don't joke. Your words, God will carry your words. Because I prayed to the point where my talking is like prayer to me. That's what I want you to be like. It's not because I'm looking for, what do you gain if you pray? What do I gain? Think about it. For those who are saying, he just wants people to pray. Look at you. Look at what you are saying. Look at what you are doing. Such a kind pastor like me. Because you are not used to pastors who are telling you to pray. And I'm calling you and I said, this pastor is too much. Too much, no problem. You say, I should stay in my pulpit. One person told me, stay in the pulpit. Don't come to our rooms. Don't be in my business. I don't have to call you. But I'm teaching you to call yourself. Wake yourself up and call somebody to pray. Let me tell you, whatever version of life you have is not as you think it. There's an upgraded version. There's an upgraded version of that, those finances. There's an upgraded version of that beauty. There's an upgraded version of that relationship. There's an upgraded version of that health. There's an upgraded version of your attitude. That prayer, the presence of God that you talk to, when it makes you a prince and gives you power with God and with man, your life, even if it's a Jacob who stole, even the blessing Jacob stole, God blessed him. I don't say go and steal so that God will bless you. But I'm saying, even if you're a thief, a prostitute, a supplanter, whatever it is, God can use it. A prayerful person is somebody with power, and God looks at your faith and he rewards those diligently seek him. Let the flow be your channel to closeness with God. And let's appreciate what Bishop Doug is doing for us. Show your appreciation by your participation. Let your participation be the reason why this is not shut off one day. But it will encourage that all of us, we think it's necessary. And if your thumbs up every morning that flow is on, thumbs up, we even count it to tell them. The other time they said they were shutting it. I said, don't shut it. I said, no, you are not interested. I want to be able to tell them that we're interested. Your thumbs up, oh, it's nothing. It's something. Even those counts, we tell them, look at how many people are on. You can't shut it down. Because now, because it was midnight, they've brought it here. They have a whole crew that have to wake up to come and attend to us. It's expensive. It's man hours. And it has to be justified. Please, when you go on, take your thumbs up. Even if you prayed for 1 hour, 30 minutes, pray that with time, you change like Jacob. Let flow be a blessing. Tell somebody, I'm a God lover and I spend a lot of time with God. I have the power with God. I have the power with man. I am a prince. No, if you're a princess, so don't say I'm a prince. Say I'm a princess. I'm a princess. And I have my God. Rise to your feet. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Wow. Weren't you blessed by that anointed word of God? Come join our services this and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time in person at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Be blessed.